Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Monica Whitlock, and in this episode, Invisible Souls, we're in Scotland with fishermen from the Philippines, Ghana and other countries. They came here to work, but nothing turned out as they expected.
I'm Joel Quincy. I'm from the Philippines, from Manila. Well, I came here in the UK because the salary in the UK is a lot higher compared to the Philippines. I applied for an agency. After like a few months, they get me hired to come over in the UK as a fisherman. We land in Heathrow late at night, hoping that there may be somebody waiting for us. Somebody would get us from the airport. Because we don't have the network, we don't have the SIM card, we don't even have pounds in our pocket. We have just some biscuits on our luggage. What are we going to do?
When Joel Quincy landed at Heathrow Airport in London, he was full of hope. Joel was 28, an experienced fisherman with a young family to care for. He was travelling with three other Filipinos. They'd all signed on with a Scottish fishing company called TN Trawlers. I first met Joel and the others almost 3 years ago. It was the start of a BBC investigation into how the fishermen were treated and what became of them. TN stands for Thomas Nicholson, and Nicholson's son, Tom Jr., came to meet the Filipinos at the bus station near the TN headquarters at Annan in Scotland.
He picked us up on that bus station, and then on our way to go to the boat, he told us, you have to give me your documents.
Your passport?
Yeah, my passport, my contract, all my documents, I have to give it to them. So without hesitation, I give all my documents to them.
So you trusted them?
Yeah. Without hesitation, we give our passports and everything to them. And then the skipper said, we're leaving, going straight to the fishing ground. You don't have any induction when you jump on the boat. You have to start working.
Joel's boat, the Philomena, was a 50-year-old dredger, one of six or seven owned by TN. It dragged huge metal nets called bellies across the seafloor. The fishermen hoisted these bellies up on metal towing bars and tipped them out onto the deck conveyors, a mass of scallops, bycatch, stones and sand. The bars and bellies weigh tons each and everything is moving, wet and slippery.
You have to shake those massive bellies to pour all the scallops and the stones on the conveyor. You have to pick the scallops, put them on the basket, and then you have to throw the stone. Sometimes you get a massive stone stuck on the conveyor. You have to take two persons just to throw the stones out back to the sea. We work 9 hours. You have rest 3 hours. And then after your 3 hours rest, you have to work 9 hours again. And then 3 hours rest. That's the routine in the boat when you are on the fishing ground. I feel something is not right going on.
Philomena would fish for around 10 days, return to harbour to offload the scallops and put back out to sea. Joel says there was never enough food on board or drinking water.
We ran out of water, drinking water. We get thirsty, we get sweat. I eat tomatoes just to wet my throat. I take a pill moped on my phone, on my smartphone. So, on my smartphone...
So you recorded that?
Yes, I recorded that. On my smartphone, showing that we're eating tomato. But we are Filipino. Even we're having tomatoes, we still laugh. We still manage to make a joke about this. But we also feel exhausted.
The deckhands were in the UK on transit visas, meaning they had to stay on one specified boat all the time. They couldn't be on land except for the first 48 hours when they were transferring to that named boat. When the trawlers came into harbour, the foreign crew couldn't get off. So they didn't meet each other, and they didn't tell anyone about conditions on board. Who would they tell? And they were all deeply in debt to their agencies. If they lost their jobs, they'd have nothing but more debt. In August, Filomena was out in rough weather. Joel was standing on the conveyor, fixing a broken link in the belly, when the towing bar swung up. He leapt out of the way before tons of metal could hit him.
So I managed to jump, but still fall in the deck. That's caused me head bleeding and loss of consciousness.
The other deckhands reckon he was out for about 15 minutes.
I asked my skipper, that's Tom Nicholson Jr., are we going to the hospital? He said, no, we're not going to the hospital, we continue fishing. And then I feel worried to myself, I feel scared. So we argue on that time that he doesn't want me to bring to the hospital. And then I even asked him, are you qualified to tell me that I'm okay? Are you a doctor? I even tell that to him. And then he angry to me. He even like going approach to me like I thought he was gonna hit me. And then I stopped arguing with him because he already raising his voice to me.
That night, Joel recorded this on his phone.
Until now, 10:20 p.m. We're still on the fishing ground. And still, my crewmates, three Filipino men, still working on the deck. This happened to me, 8:30. Until now, we are in the fishing ground.
Joel managed to phone a charity that supports fishermen. They told him that help would be at hand at the next port. And that turned out to be the small port of Troon on the Firth of Clyde, just around the coast to the north of Annan.
So we land here in Troon. We just stay here on the harbour. So after a couple of hours, 2-3 hours, 4 hours, there's no sign from small town bringing me to the hospital. So before nighttime, before dark, I decided to go up in the boat. I came up just myself with my coat on. My coat on, my phone, with no money with me. That's the first time I met Ma'am Paula and Ma'am Karen.
Mam Paula and Mam Karen are Paula Daly and Karen Burston, two sisters running the Fisherman's Mission, a tiny refuge perched on the quay at Troon Harbour. They come from a fishing family and both worked as local school teachers before taking over the mission. There's not much Paula and Karen don't know about lives at sea, and everything about Joel rang alarm bells.
I remember I made Joel a bowl of fruit salad. He was hungry and he was upset and he was in a strange country. He didn't know what was going to happen and he was injured. And I made a bowl of fruit salad and I took it and sat it in front of him. And he was overwhelmed. He began to cry and he took a photo of the bowl of fruit salad and chopped up fruit to send to his family to say that he was okay and he was being given food. And it was the first time he'd been given anything apart from bread, he said, for a long time. There were stories coming from many of the TN boats. And because they came here on a contract to a particular boat, the law said that they had to be on that boat. But they were actually transferred from boat to boat, sometimes at sea. So if someone went missing, well, they might be in another boat, or they've maybe gone home, or who knows where they've gone. It was decided that something had to be done.
The little port of Troon became the centre for fishermen getting off TN dredgers anywhere along the UK coast. It was close to Annan, and with help and police standing by. Joel and Isidro, Jovito and Crispin, Joselito and Voivik, Romit and many more. Brian Matias and Noel Hillay left their TN boat, the George Lou, at Kilkeel in Northern Ireland and headed for Troon.
And Paula phoned me one morning, 6:30 in the morning, to say that Clive Flores, who was on the Philomena, had been in touch with her and he wanted to come off the boat.
When Clive Flores arrived, Paula and Karen remember how his long hair came cascading out of his beanie. He'd been on board for months.
And Clive came off the boat. He was very, very upset, very tired, upset and frightened. Frightened is the main thing I remember about Clive. He was afraid. When he came off, a few other fishermen came off the boat behind him.
What the fishermen didn't know is that the police had eyes and ears on TN trawlers. As far back as 2007, they were prosecuted for illegal catches worth up to £1 million, investigators said. They were caught poaching in French waters and breaching safety regulations. Just before Joel arrived in the UK, 6 Filipino men had jumped off TN boats and swum for the shore. Joel and the others passed into the National Referral Mechanism. That's the Home Office system for identifying and supporting victims of human trafficking or modern slavery. They got their passports back and were taken to a safe house hidden somewhere in Scotland.
And there were translators there for all the different nationalities. And the men were all interviewed at great length and statements taken, video statements taken from all of them. And some of the hardened policemen who were doing the interviews actually came out of the interviews in tears when they heard the stories that the men told.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking to hear what they had to say. It was really quite difficult.
Yeah.
Hunger, thirst, exhaustion, lack of sleep, underpayment, racial insults. These are the common allegations. But it's the details that let us glimpse the men's lives. Gilbert says he wrapped his feet in bin bags as he had no proper boots. Clive said he jumped from boat to boat at sea in the middle of the night. Joel says he felt so thirsty he drank undiluted orange concentrate. And in between come glimpses of home too. Gilbert harvesting rice as a child. Isidro growing up in a mountain village, reachable only on foot or on horseback.
Then we started to see their families at the Skype at that point. And, oh, that was, again, the start of you thinking, you know, this is real. This is real. These are there's young children, there's parents. And
they would show us photos of their family back home. And yeah, it was so hard for them because they didn't know what would happen to them. Were they going to be sent back home? Were they going to have some kind of justice for what had happened to them? Was anyone going to deal with it? There were so many things that were so wrong.
Yeah.
They were afraid. That sounds very dramatic, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
They were afraid to speak, but they did.
The police launched a human trafficking inquiry called Operation Alto, boarding TN boats and taking the fishermen off. At least 18 Filipino fishermen, whom the Home Office identified as victims of human trafficking, were asked to remain in the UK as witnesses in the investigation and subsequent court proceedings. TN trawlers operated in English, Welsh and Irish ports as well as Scottish. It was turning over £3.2 million a year from scallops, the police said. This would be a landmark case. Except, it wasn't 2024 that Joel and the others landed at Heathrow and all this unfolded. It was 2012, more than a decade ago. And between then and now, no such case has come to trial. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Monica Whitlock, and this is Invisible Souls.
You've heard of Charlie Chaplin, right? Well, Charlie Chaplin was my grandfather, and there was a time when he was the biggest star in all the world. But something happened, not just to him, but to hundreds of artists in Hollywood. They were forced to leave, forced out.
All episodes of Hollywood Exiles from the BBC World Service and CBC are available now. Search for Hollywood Exiles wherever you get your podcasts.
Yasi, matulog ka na. Go to sleep na. What time is it now? Yes, 2 seconds. Yasi, Papa's talking. I'll talk to you later. I'll speak to you later.
And who is it that we can see on the phone?
Oh, that's my youngest daughter in the Philippines. I call her Yasi. She's Yasi in the Vela. Queen say Yasi. At the moment, they're just getting ready to bed. Yeah.
So when you came to the UK, she was a baby.
I'm already in the UK.
So her whole life, you've been here, really?
Yes, for the past 10 years, I've been here, waiting for the case and working for the family, too.
So when it's bedtime, she just likes to look at you on the phone and feel you're there?
Oh, yes. Sometimes she's even watching me sleeping.
So you have your phone open, she has her phone open?
Yes.
And you're, even when she's on the other side of the world?
Yes. That she's always like this, like if I was on call with her, she just doesn't want to hang up my call.
Back in 2012, Operation Alto sent detectives out to Manila to follow the money back to the crewing agencies that supplied the Filipino fishermen. The main one, Smart International, was closed and its license subsequently cancelled. Paula and Karen organised Christmas, Filipino style, with a whole pig barbecue on Troon Wharf.
They were here from early morning preparing the pig. I got there and they were sewing it up and with all sorts of herbs in it, and we got the oil drum and they stood out there turning the spit.
All from a whirly gig,
actually. Yeah. And the day was a great success, but the pig wasn't. It wasn't cooked all the way through. They couldn't get it hot enough.
It took forever,
but it didn't matter particularly.
They were all together and they were happy.
Uh-huh.
They were happy.
So by now you had more than, well over 30 people?
Yeah.
And the expectation must have been that the boats would stop going out then. What was your expectation then?
I thought the company would be in court within months and
the boats tied up and sold.
We wrote to TN Trawlers while making this programme. They said, and I'm quoting, "We dispute any suggestion that we mistreated our many workers. All foreign workers were recruited through reputable and established agencies. The overwhelming experience of our workers was that they were well treated and well remunerated. We dispute many of the accounts put to us."
Well, I'm Gideon Mensah from Ghana. And I came to UK 11th of July 2013. And my father is a fisherman. And my mom is a fishmonger. It's a fishing community. I'm the firstborn. In Africa, when you are the first of the family, you have a lot of responsibility. I got a contract on a fishing vessel, TN Trawlers. That's Tom Nicholson.
Gideon Mensah signed on with TN Trawlers with Operation Alto in full swing. Recruitment hadn't stopped. It had switched from East Asia to West Africa. The long ride to Annan, the reported lack of food and water, underpayment and racial insults, too foul to repeat. Gideon was an experienced seafarer. He says he'd never encountered treatment like this before.
Yeah, because it was shocking. I've never seen that before in my life. I was like, how on earth did this will happen? Even if it's supposed to happen, it should have been in Africa, but in Europe. How? But at the end of the day, you need somebody to speak to. Who do you know to speak to?
Gideon's boat was the Nordsee, a TN scallop dredger 30 years old with much the same rig as the Philomena. In October 2013, the Nordsee was fishing off the south coast of England when the towing bar hit Gideon in the chest. He crashed to the deck out cold for several minutes. When the dredger put into the port of Shoreham for repairs, fellow Ghanaian deckhands managed to alert the local fisherman's mission.
So the police contacted me. The car picked me up straight to Brighton Police Station to make a statement. I was happy. Very, very happy. Extremely happy. So I was at Brighton Police Station when the skipper began to call me. Where are you? But the police told me not to talk. Even the secretary was threatening me, speaking a lot. But my phone was on loudspeaker and the police were recording them.
What was the secretary saying?
No, he was saying, like, I'm escaping and my money has been sent to my family, a hell lot of whereby it has never been true. I worked for a whole from July to September. I never got even 1 month salary.
Gideon brought along his police and legal documents when we met in Troon, including the referral the police made to the local Salvation Army.
This is the letter what Steve wrote. So
this is Steve, the policeman?
Yeah.
He says the subject has expressed anxiety that he doesn't receive wages and therefore cannot transfer funds to his family in Ghana. The subject has been employed by TN Trawlers based in Scotland, for which there is an ongoing investigation into exploitation and maltreatment of migrant workers from West Africa, including Ghana. Day to day, the subject's movements are limited on board the trawler. Subject was injured in a crushing incident on board the boat in early November 2013, after which he was provided with no medical treatment and no medical assistance from the ship's captain or crew. Wage slips show subject receives £1.66 per day, and the money is deducted for accommodation. The subject showed the police a text message threatening to go to the authorities as he had left the ship.
So they sent everything to the Home Office. That is where the Home Office saw my case and said, I have been trafficked. And I have the paper or the certificate that the Home Office sent to me. I have them here.
I'll just read you that letter. Dear Mr. Mensah, your case has been carefully considered by a competent authority, following the decision that there were reasonable grounds to believe that you may have been a victim of human trafficking. As a result of further investigations into the case, the competent authority has concluded that you have been trafficked. Police Scotland have submitted a formal written request stating that your presence is required in the United Kingdom in order to assist with police investigations. So that was January the 7th, 2014.
Yeah, so the police, what they said, that they have the case and we're supposed to stay here because it wasn't me alone. We have Ghanaians, Sri Lankans, Filipinos, all that. So they will send the case back so that whenever they call the case in court, we will be there.
5 more Ghanaians and 2 Indonesians left TN boats in 2013. All those I've spoken to were recognised by the Home Office as trafficked. They were allowed to visit home and to work in the UK, to be on hand when they would be called as witnesses.
It should have been done, say, 2 years maximum, to gather the information and to get to court. I can't understand this.
They keep asking, why is it taking so long? But
we're asking the same thing.
Yeah.
I'll read you what TN Trawlers has said in their reply. They say, we absolutely refute any allegation of modern slavery or human trafficking, and our many testimonials and long-term employees a testament to that. TN Trawlers continued to fish. All these years, Joel and the other fishermen, now around 40 of them, waited. They never spoke about their experience in public because they thought a case was imminent. Each year, the Home Office would write, extending their visas for another year, and then another. Some went on fishing. Others found work in Luton Airport. They worked as cleaners and cooks. They served up coffee in cafes, curry in Troon, pizza in London, Sri Lankan food in Oxford. They delivered parcels. Gilbert climbed up pylons, stringing high-voltage cables for Scottish Power. One of them joined the British Army and went to serve in the Falklands. Joel and the other Filipinos found work in a care home in Belfast. Wherever you are, you might have crossed paths with one of them. Once a year, most of them got together to catch up in Troon and hear any news of the case.
Hello, Mum. Hello. How are you, Mum?
Hey, Mum.
So, there are sandwiches, cakes, everything there, drinks.
Help
please
yourself.
Do tuck in, help yourself.
How are you? How are you? Nice to see you again.
It's been an absolute privilege to get to know them.
Yeah.
They've been a joy, they really have. From the very beginning, the first ones who were here.
Every day was you were learning something. I didn't know anything about Filipino culture or anything at all.
Yeah. All the ones who were here at the beginning and then the new ones, but it has been also very a real eye-opener. They've been badly treated, of course, on the boats beyond anything that we could imagine, but they've also been badly treated by the whole system.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to
nice
see you.
See you again.
In October 2022, 10 years after Operation Alto began, Tom Nicholson Sr. finally appeared at court. He and the company were charged with failing to bring Joel ashore for medical treatment fast enough. Nicholson was also charged with withholding his Filipino workers' passports. The Crown accepted his not guilty plea for the passport charges. Joel was awarded £3,000 for his head injury, and TN Trawlers was fined £13,500. In their reply to us, TN said they deeply regretted the delay, accepted responsibility, and apologised to the individual. No explanation was given in court about why this relatively minor health and safety case had taken a decade to be heard. The Crown wrote to the fishermen, standing them down as witnesses, as there would be no human trafficking or modern slavery trial. In desperation, the fishermen wrote as a group to the then First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, with copies sent to the police, Crown, Human Trafficking Unit, Philippine Embassy and Parliament. They asked for a meeting. No one agreed. Since I first met the fishermen almost 3 years ago now, Paula and Karen have retired. So have most of the police officers who worked on Operation Alto and Operation Feature. None of them agreed to speak on this programme. We put several queries to the Crown Office and Procurator Fiscal Service of Scotland. It responded that it is fully committed to tackling human trafficking and went on, we recognise that the time taken in dealing with these complex and challenging matters has been difficult for those affected and deal with every case individually, taking action where there is sufficient admissible evidence that a crime has been committed. Many of the fishermen chose to wait in the UK all these years rather than go home because they felt it was the right thing to stand witness as they were asked. This is the first time that they've spoken out. In its response to this programme, TN Trawlers said, "Working on the high seas, sometimes in dangerous waters and in a confined environment, are extremely difficult. Although we did not always get everything right, we're satisfied that in the main we did, and provided meaningful employment and support to a significant number of people."
It's painful. You see, sometimes you think about it, thinking about family, not seeing your mom. My mom, I lost my grandmother, who has been my best friend for my infancy. I wasn't able to go and see her. It gives you a nightmare every single night. You can't continue to see the family always on video calls and all that.
Gideon's sons back in Ghana are now 13 and 10 years old.
Always, daddy is coming. Daddy, when are you coming in? Sometimes I don't want to just talk about it. I can't go and see my sick mother, my kids. I mean, so why did you keep me here all this while? If you don't want to continue giving me or maybe witnessing the police, why did you keep me here?
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. Invisible Souls was presented and produced by Monica Whitlock. John Nichols composed our music. Tom Brignall was the sound designer, and he mixed the programme.
You've heard of Charlie Chaplin, right? Well, Charlie Chaplin was my grandfather, and there was a time when he was the biggest star in all the world. But something happened. Not just to him, but to hundreds of artists in Hollywood. They were forced to leave, forced out.
All episodes of Hollywood Exiles from the BBC World Service and CBC are available now. Search for Hollywood Exiles wherever you get your podcasts.